From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Currently we're letting the Bible speak on the subject of laboring to produce fully mature Christians. The text is Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. I think you'll agree from the very statement of the subject that it is important. We're living in a day of very, very significant shallowness, both in the pulpit and in the pew, and that comes back to haunt us. So stay with us as we look at laboring to produce fully mature Christians. First, however, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 for our daily devotional Bible study. The subject will be the cities of refuge, which is really taken from the Old Testament, but the text in Hebrews sums up all that really we have to see as the spiritual significance of the cities of refuge. Paul says, "We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." It's very evident that Paul has a particular illustration in mind here in speaking of Christ as the sinner's hope. He speaks of fleeing, and he speaks of refuge, a refuge found in the hope set before us. He's obviously thinking of the cities of refuge first spoken of in the book of Numbers. Under the law, certain cities were provided as a place of refuge for the unintentional manslayer. In the provision of those cities, there was a clear foreshadowing of the gospel, of Christ himself, who is our hope. The cities were built on mountains, so as to be clearly seen by the searching fugitive. There's no obscurity in the gospel. Christ is set before us there with much clarity. Let us who would point sinners to him always endeavour to use what Paul termed great plainness of speech. Remember that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Those citadels of safety were not only set on mountains, they were evenly located throughout the land. Three in the west of Jordan, Kadesh, Shechem, and Kirjath Arba, and three on the east of the river, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. Thus, refuge was available in every section of the land, just as Christ is the strong tower in which sinners in every place may enter. He is the Savior of all men, men from all nations, all colors, all classes, sinners of every kind and of every background. In those cities alone was there shelter from the avenger of blood. Others may have looked just as safe, but only those of God's appointment offered shelter. Christ is the only hope for the sinner. Many would guide needy souls in other directions, but the scriptures warn us against these false Christs and these false gospels. You must enter into that one refuge that God has set before us in his own precious word, and you must enter in with urgency. The avenger follows and will strike you down. Flee to Christ today. To delay may bring certain destruction. C.H. Spurgeon gives us our thought for the day. Everyone who is a man of God has omnipotence as his guardian.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. sing, O Spirit of my Redeemer, sing, O Spirit of my Redeemer. Let His blood be purchased me, let His blood be purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, on the cross He sealed my pardon. Paid the debt and made me free, and made me free.
Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but He is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and He's the God of prophecy. And therefore He is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose while our supplies last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you. And we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel. Yesterday we commenced studying Colossians chapter 1 verses 28 and 29 on the subject of labouring to produce fully mature Christians. The very first thing to emphasise is the message. Paul speaks of him whom we preach. And I was making some comments yesterday on his reference to full assurance of understanding. This is a vital point, and that's exactly where we take up today's study. So stay with us now as we turn again to Colossians chapter 1. Full assurance is a perfection of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, by inexorable and inevitable biblical logic. Full assurance is not some pipe dream. It is not some make-believe. It is not the exercise of willpower. It is not even the exercise of the usual syllogism or logic. The Bible says this: I believe it, therefore I'm saved. That's how most pastors lead you to assurance. There is some validity in that logic, but that's never going to give you full assurance in itself. The full assurance comes from understanding the gospel. Faith cannot be exercised apart from the word of God, for faith is always a human response to a divine revelation. So understand this, and never forget it. Paul is laboring that they may have full assurance, but that full assurance comes from an understanding of the gospel. And so as he enters into this exposition, he's going to be leading them into the depths of the truth of the person and the work of the Redeemer. And as he does so, that's going to create in them an assurance of the truth of the gospel, an assurance of their interest in the gospel, and it is going to do something else. It's going to protect them from these subtle heresies that otherwise would overthrow them, or distract them, or put them in a wrong pathway. The surest antidote to heresy is not a heresy hunting club. Though I am very happy that there are people out there keeping their finger on every new heresy that is arising in the church. But the surest antidote to heresy is a sound Christology. A sound grasp of what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wants to get in their heart, and he doesn't want them to move away from it. So what does he do to them? He proclaims Christ. Now, how did they get saved? What was the message he brought to them in order to bring them out of darkness into light? He preached Christ to them. Isn't this the message of the gospel? Every apostle preached it. Peter said, "We have no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We noted, as we were looking in the book of Acts a few Sunday nights ago, that when Philip went to Samaria,
He preached Christ unto them. When he met the Ethiopian eunuch, he preached Christ unto him. When the apostles went to unconverted Jews, they preached Christ to the Jews. When they went to heathen Gentiles, they preached Christ to the Gentiles. There is no other message for the salvation of the world. Men don't get to heaven as the result of the study of comparative religion. Men don't get to heaven by finding whatever little ray of light they imagine may be found in this religion and that religion. No, sir. Men get to heaven exclusively, solely, totally, and only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other message. So he says, for the unsaved, I preach Christ. In many places, that message is not preached. Even in many evangelical places, that message is not really preached. What masquerades as the gospel nowadays is a far cry from the apostolic gospel. The Jesus that is being presented by so much of modern Christendom is what Paul terms another Jesus. But the solid preaching of the person and the work of Jesus Christ as expounded in the Word of God is sadly missing in many places. But I'll tell you what's even more missing in evangelical churches. And it's the preaching of Christ to God's people. There's many a preacher who will preach Christ to the unconverted to see them converted. But once they are converted, he somehow thinks that he has to have some, quotes, more practical message for them. And so he wastes his time and he insults the Word of God by a series of so-called practical studies that are 99% rubbish and 1% senseless. And there's no Christ. Mother's Day. Across America today, there will be dumb preachers. Well, I wish they were dumb in the sense of buttoning their lips. And they'd be preaching heathenism. And they'd be so eulogizing mothers that they'd be worshipping them practically. Now, there's a sense. The English word worship doesn't always have the connotation that we give to divine worship. We go into a magistrate's court in the United Kingdom. A magistrate is called Your Worship. You'd better remember that when you talk to him, or you could end up in jail for contempt of court. Your Worship. We don't mean that he's God. It is simply a token of respect. I worshipped my mother in that way. And woe betide anybody who'd ever opened his mouth against her. He'd have been more dead than alive in no time. And I would hope that any fellow with any red blood in his heart or in his being would do the same. But across America today, there'd be people talking about mothers as if they were gods. I was reading, and I think this comes from an old Jewish proverb. There is an old Jewish proverb to the effect that because God couldn't be everywhere, he sent mothers. That's blasphemy. And then I read a so-called Christian poem. It may even have been a hymn for all I know, but it had a lot of verses in it. And it took up that theme. Because God didn't have hands to wipe away every tear from every baby's eye, he sent mothers. And that's blasphemy. Utter, heathen, pagan blasphemy. Doesn't honor a mother to make her an idol. It demeans her. But as these preachers are preaching to mothers, some of them no doubt, well, of course, some of them nowadays may be women, but many of them will be men, and I take it they don't know what it is to be a mother, but they're going to tell you how to be a mother. And they'll have all the how-tos, and they'll give you every little rule in the book, and every little rule of psychology that some ungodly psychologist has dreamed up, to which they can attach a verse of scripture in or out of context, makes very little difference. And that's what they'll be doing. There's no Christ. It was to Christians here Paul was speaking, and he says to you, I'm preaching Christ. What is it that will enable you to grow to full assurance of understanding? What is it that will enable you to grow strong as a Christian? What is it that will enable you to live and do the work to which God has called you? What is it that will enable you to fulfill the function, whether it be of a mother or a father or an evangelist or a Sabbath school teacher or a worker on the factory floor, seeking to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of an ungodly company? What is it that's going to make you what you ought to be? It is the grasp by faith of what this book says about Jesus Christ. Now here I would need to take a quick run through Colossians 2 to make in detail clear what I mean. But I daren't do that, because as I said, if I get into it, I'm not likely to get out of it in a hurry. And a few of us are supposed to be in Pennsylvania for 5 o'clock tomorrow night. And it may not happen. But listen, this is what sums it all up for Paul. Verse 6 of chapter 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up where? In Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's the only thing that will strengthen a Christian to become fully mature. The message is Christ. The method is the next thing he emphasizes also in verse 28. And you'll notice he says, whom we preach, warning every man. So he's preaching, he's warning, teaching every man in all wisdom. Three terms here. Preaching. I think that you'll see immediately, and some of you with good memories will recall this, that when I was dealing with verse 25, I referenced this portion because this is how Paul acted as God's steward among the people. Preaching is proclaiming. And generally it has the idea of publicly proclaiming. In other words, he was describing himself as one who was coming as a man with a message from God. Now let me stop there, because this is the heart of Reformed Protestantism. This is the heart of the Protestant service. This is the heart of the Protestant worship. There is a place for music. And remember, it was the Protestant reformers who brought to the congregation, or should I say, brought back to the congregation, the participation in the music. They were no longer spectators. They were worshippers as they sang the great and glorious hymns of the faith. There's a place for music. There's a place where we can sit down, perhaps in a church building, or perhaps out of a church building, and discuss some passage of Scripture or some issue in the light of the passages of Scripture. Perhaps in some issues there is a place for dialogue. But when it comes to the main heart working of the Church of Jesus Christ, Paul emphasizes preaching.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.